I appreciate the interaction. What's going on? That was really good.
Translation to
what?
Somebody threw it over the fence and it drove over. Part of that one verse, on fire verse.
I have a question. Basic, what was the deal for 1 Corinthians 13, 13?
Basic English.
Yeah. Anybody remember?
1 Corinthians 13, 13?
Yeah.
That number is basic English, 31. He was right on, obviously, I didn't know how. And I wouldn't rate him wrong. What'd you rate him as?
For what?
1 Corinthians 13. Oh, the old sheet.
Anybody have Phillips?
I do.
There's two Phillips in here? You got Elvis.
Bro, what are we doing? It's the abomination of Israel.
God help us.
Standing where it ought not.
Well, He was looking for basic English.
Basic English.
Thank you. about the last one.
Who has Darby?
Darby,
I do.
The spirit endowed them with clear expression.
That's him.
Oh.
That somebody gave
him
that
part.
He tore it off. That's what I'm taking.
Yeah.
Is there another Darby?
I'd love to.
There might be. I have not found it. But there's a good chance that the Darby same thing as well. I'll look for his name. Darby for
Acts. Acts 2:4. Spirit gave them utterance. It was giving them to utter. I believe we left off with Wayne.
Is that correct?
Go ahead there, Wayne.
The Spirit gave them the word, gave them words to utter.
Spirit gave them words to utter. We on gear here. Moffat.
They began to speak in foreign tongues as the Spirit enabled them to express themselves.
Enabled them to express themselves. I think we wrote that down on our notes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good speech.
Whatever the Spirit prompted them to utter.
What?
Whatever the Spirit prompted them to utter.
Prompted them to utter. Byington.
And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit granted it to them. As the Spirit granted it to them.
I told you you had a situation like that, Lenny. You read the whole thing, and it's got a spoken time, amazing. I like that situation there.
Well, it certainly isn't wrong.
No.
Right.
So, that solves that problem. Probably, and I'm going to give it
between 2 and 5.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 and 5.
Spirit granted them to utter divine things.
Berkeley.
Spirit granted them expression. You read the whole thing, it says the Holy Spirit began to speak in foreign languages as just as the Spirit granted them expression.
Well, that's kind of ambiguous, please. Granted them expression.
Spirit give them power to proclaim his message.
Beth, the Spirit gave them the ability to speak.
Spirit gave them the ability to speak. Well, you can take that in a positive light.
That's a synonym for utterance.
A real negative.
I think the word ability probably is instead of power. The power isn't in there either. But concept-wise, power is better. Anyway, I'm not making a whole lot out of it. Good news. The Spirit enabled them to speak. Libby.
As the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. Would that repeat?
No.
As the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression, then in parentheses they got, in each tongue in appropriate words.
That. Jerusalem.
Let's see.
Jerusalem here?
No.
Berkeley.
Oh. Began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak.
NIV.
As the Spirit enabled them.
As the Spirit enabled them. Weist.
Even as the Spirit kept giving them ability to speak forth.
Amplified.
And began speaking in languages they didn't know. So the Holy Spirit gave them this ability.
Spirit gave them power.
Kingsley.
As the Spirit gave them power of speech.
Norley.
As the Spirit gave them utterance.
Ledger.
Made them able to speak.
Knox.
As the Spirit gave utterance.
Confraternity.
Not here.
NAB.
NAB. As the Spirit prompted them.
Gale confraternity?
Yeah. Got it.
And began to speak in foreign tongues, even as the Holy Spirit prompted them to speak.
Sorry, Matt.
As the Spirit gave them utterance.
Yeah.
According as the Spirit was giving them to declare.
To declare. Derby.
As the Spirit give to them to speak forth.
Rather.
Just as the Spirit was given unto them to be sounding forth.
Gotta be.
as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Plural.
Even as the Spirit was giving them to declare.
Same as you. Concordant.
They speak in different languages. According as the Spirit gave them to declaim.
Declaim.
Is that declare and proclaim?
Declaim.
I don't know what that means.
Probably in the same
category, though.
Yeah.
New World.
Just as the Spirit was granting them to make utterance.
Lamsa. According to whatever the Spirit gave them to speak.
Simple.
The Spirit was giving them the power to do this when speaking in tongues. Speaking languages.
I'm going to read this a little bit before that.
They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with different tongues. The Spirit was giving them the power to do this.
That's not too bad. Recovery.
Begin to speak in different tongues, even as the Spirit gave them to speak out.
New Century.
They began to speak different languages. The Holy Spirit was giving them the power to speak these languages.
Same. Pretty simple. Any comments there? Wayman.
The Holy Spirit began to speak in the foreign languages according as the Spirit gave them words to utter.
Let's look at John 14:26 and 1 John 2:1. We'll take them both at the same time.
Repeat those lines.
John 14:26 and 1 John 2:1.
In what column?
Two columns, but I'm going to have you read them both at the same time. Interesting to see how the translations match up on this. Looking at the Greek word parakletos, translated comforter in King James, parakletos in the Greek was a legal assistant, a pleader, one who pleads another's cause. A good English rendering would be advocate. Advocate would be a good English rendering. Now, it's the same word in 1 John 2:1. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, King James translates advocate there, but they translated comforter in John 14:26. I don't really see any reason to not translate it the same in both places. So I'm only going to get one rating scale, and it would be interesting to me to see how many translations have translated consistently or inconsistently. Now, advocate I'm going to give a 5. Comforter, it's hard to know what to do with that, probably a 0 or something. Maybe minus 1. Mm-hmm. Comforter is just a completely different idea. The pat on the comforter. NAS translates it helper. Helper seems to be a little more closer to the idea, although I think it's kind of weak. A helper doesn't really bring out what the Greek is bringing out. Then the word pleader. I don't know that I'm going to give pleader a 5. But it's got to be up there close.
The interlinear just transliterates it.
Paraclete. The paraclete was a Greek, not necessarily a vocation, but it was an office, okay, so to speak, that a person would go and represent someone as a legal counselor. And that's what this word is.
Is that carried into modern English?
Paraclete, I'm going to give that a 5. They leave it, they transliterate it. If we look up paraclete in the English dictionary, I believe it gives the definition, advocate, counselor, and so forth. Friend, I think is just very neutral. I'll probably give that a 0. It's not very accurate. Maybe I'll give that a, you know. Then counselor. Counselor can have two meanings. Counselor is a synonym for lawyer in a courtroom. But a counselor is also somebody that gives you advice. And so, since the word is ambiguous, maybe I'll give it a 1 or 2. Any questions?
What were you going to give pleader or helper?
Obviously, I'm going to give pleader a 3 and helper a 2.
Well, if they had a lawyer, that would be a 5.
Lawyer? Well, I'd probably give that a 4 or 5.
Wouldn't pleader and advocate be pretty close, though?
I think so.
Advocate gets a 5, right?
I'm giving advocate a 5. I like advocate. I'm not liking helper as much. Seems like pleader should be better than helper. I guess I'm going to demote a little bit here. Okay. Just say John 14, advocate. 1 John, advocate. Say it like that. We're going to read them both at the same time. So we can get one translation and kind of get the feel for how consistent they are. Any further questions?
What about spokesman?
Spokesman. That seems like it's better than some of these others. Give that like 3 or 4. Tyndale.
John 14 is comforter and 1 John is advocate.
Ethiopian Christian.
The same as Adam.
Same as Tyndale. And I suspect this Ethiopian version has some influence from the King James. I don't think they would come up with that without information of King James. I'm not saying they come from the King James, it's just there's apparently some influence.
Yeah, they translate, you know, Paraclesis is comforting.
Mm-hmm. So. Adams.
Yeah, we have counselor and advocate.
Counselor John 14 and advocate. New King James.
We have helper and advocate.
Dewey.
We have paraclete and advocate.
King James, same as Tyndale. King James 2.
Same.
ERV and ASV.
Comforter and advocate.
You can see the heavy influence of the King James. Merrick.
Same.
excuse me, was in King James, and King James II the same?
Yes.
Six, seven, eight, nine, and ten are all the same, is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. NAS.
Numeric.
Numeric same as King James, somebody said. What does NAS have? Not here. RSV.
Counselor and Advocate.
NEB.
Advocate. And why don't you plead our cause? One to plead our cause.
Advocate and one to plead our cause. 20th century.
John 14 is Alpha. First John to plead for us.
Helper and to plead for us. Benton.
Helper and advocate.
Wayman.
Advocate and advocate.
Mm-hmm. Moffitt.
Moffitt.
John 14, some other place in the Bible.
Weird, it goes from 13 to 15.
I know, it might be over by John 8. I'm just guessing. John 14.
Why would he do that?
Moffat changed things around chronologically in the book. Maybe it's later on in the book, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's at the end of
15 or 16. Here it is. Chapter 16. Helper.
Goodspeed.
Helper, one who is upright and will intercede for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jesus Christ the righteous, so that's one who's upright. It's who will intercede for us. Mm-hmm. Byington.
Spokesman and spokesman.
CB.
Helper, one who pleads.
Berkeley.
Berkeley was comforter and counselor for defense.
What was the first one? What's the first one?
Comforter. Oh. Counselor for defense.
Prevention.
Yeah. Let's go with Phillips.
Holy Spirit and the Father will send in my name, will be your teacher. teacher will be your teacher. Well, that's just for the first one. For the second one,
it does have in the context that he will teach you everything. Mm-hmm.
The second one is advocate.
Read the first one again.
Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will be your teacher and will bring you to bring to your minds all that I have said to you.
I think that's the second part of the verse. That's the second part of the verse. Because that's in there.
Oh. But the one who is coming to stand by you.
The one who's coming to stand by you.
Comforter and one to plead for us.
Good news.
Helper and who pleads for us with the Father. The whole thing is we have Jesus Christ, the righteous, who pleads for us with the Father.
Women.
But the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, prisoner,
That must be amplified.
Comforter. And then the first John 2:1 is someone to plead for you before the Father.
Jerusalem is here, Barclay.
Barclay. John 14:26 is helper. 1 John 2:1 is plead our cause with the Father.
NIV.
Counselor and one who speaks to the Father in our defense.
Weast.
Weast is the counselor, the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:1 is one who pleads our cause.
1 John 14
was the counselor, the Holy Spirit.
Okay. The comforter, parentheses, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit.
And the second one?
Advocate.
Basic
is helper, and 1 John is friend and helper.
Kingsley.
Friend and friend.
Norman.
Comforter and advocate.
Ledger.
Helper and go between.
Go between.
Knox.
He who is to befriend you and advocate.
God's paternity.
Advocate.
Paraclete and Jesus Christ, an intercessor who is just.
Diaglot.
Yeah, Diaglot, I couldn't find in the library.
Oh. Yeah.
Comforter and advocate. You say the same as King James.
Darby.
Comforter and once and we have a patron with the Father, P-A-T-R-O-N.
Patron. What's a patron? The patron saint is? Read again.
Okay. If anyone sin, we have a patron with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sin.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
That means that some patron means someone over you. Or something.
We have to check that out in the library. We have to look that up. Can we get a dictionary? Can we get a dictionary break here? Drop your hand.
First one was comforter for Darby.
Advocate.
Comforter and advocate.
Moral.
Advocate and advocate.
Concordant.
Consoler. Consoler.
Not counselor.
Nope. Consoler.
A consoler is somebody that consoles you on that.
And we have entreater.
First John 2, 1, entreater.
Yes.
Entreater.
Someone who entreats.
Entreat is to intercede for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. New world.
Helper and helper.
Mm-hmm. Lanza.
Comforter and advocate.
Simple English.
Comforter and we have Jesus Christ, the righteous one, to help defend us before God and Father.
Recovery.
Six. But the comforter and advocate.
New century.
Help them. And help us.
To what?
To help us.
Good speed is helper and one who is upright and another speed for us.
New King James.
A New King James. Okay. The second part was advocate, and the first part was... I think it's helper, because I read him as one.
Yeah. Well, Beck. Beck is comforter and one, let's see who pleads, one to plead for us.
The King James was helper for the first part and advocate for the second.
20th century?
20th century.
Luke?
Right. Go ahead.
I have a question for you.
Helper
for John 14. What does a lot of the translations I've noticed in 1 John 2:1 say, plead our cause before the Father?
Because the concept of an advocate is one who is a legal aid who goes before you, before the judge, and represents your case. So plead our cause before the Father. That's Christ and his work on Calvary. You know, in the courtroom, analogy of the courtroom, us being guilty before of sin, and him representing us before the Father and work on Calvary.
NIV, I need the first part.
NIV, counselor.
That's all I need, thank you.
Are we ready to go on? Let's look at Jude 20. Jude 20, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give praying in the Holy Spirit a 5. The article isn't there, so it's praying in Holy Spirit. The Greek in is there. Oh, wait a minute. Let's check that out. Is the Greek in there? Or is it just the dative?
In spirit, holy praying.
And is in there? For the preposition? Okay, the preposition and is in there. Now, how about praying by the Holy Spirit? Close. 3 or 4?
That's kind of 4.
All right. Before we get through that, how about through the Holy Spirit, and how about with the Holy Spirit? By, through, with, and in. In is the literal. So we might as well compare all of those and kind of juggle out all the numbers around. Is through closer to in? With, is that still in the ballpark?
Yeah.
With? Praying with the Holy Spirit. Actually, praying by the Holy Spirit could be by means of the Holy Spirit, and it could be very close to with. I mean through, with not being that far behind that. And then there's praying in or with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then there's praying an anointed prayer. Meaning praying in English, you know, under the power of the Spirit. Instead of we interpreting this praying in the Holy Spirit, now reference to other tongues,
just because of the parallel structure of 1 Corinthians 14:2 and
verse 14. Praying by.
So we get praying, you know, with the Holy Spirit, and then we get praying with the power of the Holy Spirit, and then with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and then we get praying in anointed prayer. I mean, we start drifting away and more towards just praying in anointed prayer. So, praying in anointed prayer to me is an interpretation. It's, you know, meriting like a minus 10 or something. Maybe minus 5.
Praying with the power of the Holy Spirit, I would agree with that.
Since there's a sense which that can barely squeak by for the real thing, I'm leaning to a 0, but now that I think about it, I'm going back to minus 3.
What is the idea that's giving it
the realm of it by the power of?
Well, it's just praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. I think that's praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit.
What do we do through, with, and by?
I'm giving those close. Close. Okay. 3s and 4s and 1s and...
Are they the same? With, through, and by?
Well, I'm making a little bit of a difference. I think with is maybe a little less than through and by.
Now, have you got any idea why are they doing that? If the scriptures say in, are there some manuscripts that maybe...
No, the preposition in...
I mean, it's there. Why don't they just say in?
Because they don't say in a lot of places. A lot of these translations are really loose in their translation of prepositions.
Right.
So, the King James were the worst offenders.
Right.
They take a lot of liberty.
That's why I can't see giving them such of a hot score for this right there in the end, and they say, bah.
Well, you take your liberty.
Put them around. I've got it right here.
Get a red pen.
Put a pencil in your hand. And then you got to kind of bounce that off with praying in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, which I think is a whole different idea.
Right. Get them too.
Oh, you would.
Mercy, no mercy at all.
One last idea. Praying with a small h, holy, small s, Spirit. Now, in Greek, the article D is not there, so they have taken the liberty to interpret it as, I assume, our Holy Spirit. Praying with the Holy Spirit, meaning praying yourself with like holy hands, Holy Spirit, praying with the Holy Spirit. Whole different concept.
Yeah. Kind of takes that out.
Do you also want us to see if it's capitalized Holy Spirit or small letter Holy Spirit?
We'll assume it's capitalized unless you tell us otherwise. And if they say the Holy Spirit, we know exactly what that means. A lot of them are going to put the article in there. And since Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I haven't really made a distinction there. I'm not going to dock them if they had the article because it's definite anyway. Let's take a 5-minute break. We'll just catch this way when we come back.
That's the help I needed.
Yeah. I'll give you that minus 3. It's in all of that. They either say in the power of the Holy Spirit, or under the power of the Holy Spirit.
And the winds blew the afflictions. The floods want to just overwhelm you. The winds want to overthrow you. Do you know all of us endure the testings of life? Both houses are going to endure trials. It doesn't matter what you build. You're going through the fire like everybody else is going through the fire. Don't ever think that, well, if I just hold back a little bit, I won't come under the press as much, because they tell me that if you really stand up for God, the devil will really hit you. So, I won't really stand up for God, so I don't really get hit. Don't you think that for a minute. Talk about getting hit. You already got hit just by that thinking. And once the devil kind of slowly puts a noose around you, you is dead. You ever seen one of those fly traps? Slowly close on them. Some of them go slowly. No, then it's just too late. It's just too late. Just slowly wrapped around, it's just too late. So, all are going to be tested. But there is a fundamental difference, very definitely. How they will be able to respond will depend on how they built and on what they built. Obedience or disobedience is what determines the type of foundation. Obedience or disobedience is what determines the type of foundation. It's real basic. Notice in verse 24 it says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, if you hear and do them. Wherefore, therefore, it's a conclusion of, yes, the whole sermon, but maybe even more in particular, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? No, I never knew you. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Because many heard, they did some works, but they quit listening. And they did not have that heart relationship. The Lord never knew them. That is, in the end of time. Although He may have loved them, He did love them, and the man may have loved God for some time, but backslid. Fourthly, notice the emphasis in this parable. It's not what was builded, but it was where it was built. It's not so much what was built, but it's where that is built. In other words, the foundation. And guess what? The foundation supports everything. No matter how nice the house is, if you've got a lousy foundation, it'll ruin the whole house. The whole thing will be destroyed. You ever seen a house with a sinking foundation? It ruins the whole home. And if you've ever seen a foundation that's gotten broken up by either earthquake or something, the whole house just falls to pieces. You just can't stand because the foundation is no good. You've got to have the right foundation. So the emphasis is not what you built, but it's where you built it. On what did you build it? That's why it's not so much all the outward activity that is so important, but it's the commitments in your heart. The decisions of your heart. The attitude of your heart. Talking to one of my girls this morning, kind of having a little fallout. Their sister, for something that her sister didn't do maliciously, just something happened. I said, we've got to talk about that. I said, you know, the most important thing is not whether you got a rough deal or not. The most important thing is your attitude in it. And that's what's going to determine what you get out of it. You can get, this can be good for you. Or it can be lousy for you, and it depends on your attitude. It doesn't matter at all what they did. All it depends on is what you do now, your attitude. Fifthly, it says the foolish man's house had a great fall. It says, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. There's a real emphasis on how great the fall was. And it was a great fall because there was no support. It wasn't just a little chink. There was no defense against life's trials. They got totally blown away. Therefore, it was a great fall because the house was just as big as the other one, you know? Okay, more things on that. God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last survey is her name is Kristen. God bless you. God bless you.
Something interesting to share with you sometime when you have a minute.
Okay. Probably not now, huh?
No.